y'all mother truckers. Welcome to another episode of the Hollywood Hick. This is Brent Paris, the Hollywood Hick, coming at you from Hollywood, California, just above Hollywood Boulevard, right at Hollywood and Vine, the most famous intersection in all the world, here on the Crab Diving Network, www.crabdiving.com. And I don't know if y'all know this, but it has been raining like a mother trucker here in Hollywood since yesterday. And I ain't seen it rain like this. I woke up at 3:30 in the mother trucking morning because it was loud. I have never seen, I've lived here for 20-something years in this city. I ain't never seen it rain like that. I had to get out the bed and go out into the Florida room where I am talking to you people from right now. Because the rain has kind of stopped for a hot minute, so it ain't that loud. And that means not too many helicopters are going to fly over and disrupt things, shaking the walls like a fucking air motorboat from I'm Not Gay Anymore, fella. Yeah, it's been raining like a mother truck. I've been fucking with my interwebs. So if I start bitching about the interwebs as I try to access a news story to talk about, to regale you people with my opinions and what I think about the world of pop culture and the things I find important, then that's just the way it's going to go. Because apparently when my interwebs gets wet, then it doesn't work as good as it normally does, which is usually not even that great to begin with. You don't know what I've been through with AT&T. AT&T is really the only volatile relationship I have in my life. I am a homo, as I have said many times, and my people love the drama. Love it, love it, love it. If you don't believe me, just go to the gay part of whatever town you're in on a Saturday evening, and I guarantee you there's going to be a homo losing his mind on every corner. It's just the way it goes. There's going to be at least one homo losing his mind somewhere in the general vicinity of every corner. Homos love the drama. Me, being not the world's best homo, I don't get down with the drama. I can't do it. I can't wrap my brain around it. It's just too much energy and effort and blah, 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 all that stuff for me to have to worry about. But yeah, so AT&T, they the ones that piss me off all the time. But you don't know what I went through. But I finally did win. Like, you ever get the satisfaction? Like, I've been going around with them. I went around with them for months and months about this. Anyway, like, it would just stop. Just stop. You'd be doing stuff, looking at something, and then it would just go away. And I was working from home at the time, so that makes it a little bit difficult when you're trying to earn a living. Because believe it or not, the Hollywood Hick doesn't really pay that much. So I have to kind of work a side gig. And so when I'm working from home and the interwebs goes out, what do you think that does in this day and age? Fucks a brother up. That's what it does. So guess what? Me and AT&T broke the fuck up. And when it was not a good breakup. It was like a fucking Chris Brown, Karrueche Tran breakup. Where I was fucking yelling shit from rooftop to what kind of a bitch ass they were. And in this case, AT&T deserved it. However, Karrueche Tran does not deserve the treatment she gets from Chris Brown, who supposedly, according to her, she is done with for good this time, but I highly doubt it because she always ends up going back to him. I don't know why. He's such a douche nozzle. He is like the douche nozzle. Like, he almost makes Marky Mark not look like a douche nozzle, but I'm not going to say that because if y'all listen to the last Hollywood Hick, I might be seriously broke the fuck up with a one Mr. Marky Mark fucking Wahlberg, Marky Mother Trucking Mark. Done. Broke the fuck up. In case y'all want a recap of why I am broke the fuck up with him, and I can't wrap my brain, like, the sense of entitlement is beyond anything I can wrap my brain around. I don't like it. I hate this kind of attitude. I hate this sort of mentality. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I can't say enough how much I hate it. But just to recap, so y'all know what, Marky Mark has gone and petitioned the governor of Massachusetts for a pardon because when he was a youngster, he was a straight-up mother-trucking hood rat who was running the streets all cracked out on Lord knows what, causing all kind of trouble. And not just your average, everyday, run-of-the-mill kind of juvenile-type trouble that people like me found when I was younger. No, this dude was committing serious, straight-up hate crimes, although they were not classified hate crimes back when he did it. But now, seeing as we have hate crime sort of classifications, these would most definitely 100% under no circumstances would there be any doubt fall into the hate crime category. So, and just for knowledge too, he spent 45 days out of 2 years in jail when he got busted for some of this stuff. So he really hasn't paid a really big debt to society and all, and he seems to think that he sort of like deserves to be pardoned for this shit. But this is what he did. The one that got him in the most trouble was him and a couple of few friends, some dude named Michael Guilfoyle. Like, what is it with people and unpronounceable last fucking names these days? I can't. Derek Furcart should be Fuckhead. Derek Fuckhead. And this was back in '80s, like the '86, I guess, whatever. It's a while ago, but still doesn't fucking matter. That he was like, they would go through town hollering, like if, say, like there was a person of color walking through town, and that part of town that they deemed that they were not to be allowed into because that was a white part of town and not a black part of town, they would follow them around yelling, kill the N-word that we're not all supposed to stay, especially if you got an accent like mine, over and over. While they are not just yelling that at them and chasing them on mopeds, that is as pussy as it comes. But they're just yelling that as they're throwing rocks at their heads of like children, girls, children, like kids, young people, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but the one that got him in the most trouble, this is what he did. He was 16, tried as an adult. This is what sent him to jail. He was, back in 88, he was carrying a large wooden stick. Now, I've heard on multiple different counts, like there's been 2x4, 2x5 big stick, but this thing I read right now says it was a 5-foot long stick, 2 to 3 inches in diameter. So that's a big ass stick, right? So fucking Marky Mark approached this dude, this Vietnamese dude, and as he just, who was toting beer, he wanted to steal his beer, I guess. And he, as he cracked him over the head with that stick, he was yelling, Vietnam fucking shit, hit him over the head. Not just hit him over the head, broke the stick in two over his head, knocked him the fuck out, and then, as if that wasn't enough, went down the street, found another Vietnamese guy, started hollering whatever he started hollering, and then punches that dude in the eye to the point that that dude is now blind in that eye, supposedly blind in that eye. Now, if that's not enough, he continued on the downward spiral. He also stole cars. He admitted to all of that. He committed all kind of battery, all kind of stuff. So just horrible. He was a horrible, horrible youth who committed felonies that would be today considered hate crimes. Hate crimes. So this is the fool that's asking for a pardon. And it pisses me the fuck off. But then, as if it's not enough for me to just be pissed off at that, what happened was, now the dude that he punched the fuck in the face, the Vietnamese dude, is coming out to say that he wasn't blinded by Marky Mark, although it's from what I understand, it is in the police report that the guy was blinded by Marky Mark when he got punched in the face. But now the guy is trying to say that he was not blinded by Marky Mark, that his eye was already fucked up, and that it happened during the Vietnam War. And so now he thinks that Marky Mark deserves a pardon. Like, and so what I want to know is, what kind of payoff did this motherfucker, who's now in Texas, get from Marky Mark to try to, like, instigate some sort of pardon for him? Where, and honestly, Massachusetts has a black governor now, and if this guy pardons him, I hope fucking the shitstorm from hell rains down on this mother trucker. I really do. This whole thing just pisses me off. And it's not that I don't think he deserves to be forgiven, but there's no reason to forget. Because, good. And I'm glad that you have claimed to turn your life around through Jesus and being a Catholic and going to church every day. And if that makes you feel better about the shit you did growing up. Because, oh, and the other thing is, he's never apologized. Never once apologized to these people. Never apologized, because he said the guilt went away. After enough time, the guilt went away. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. And that he goes to church enough that he doesn't need to apologize or make amends to anybody for these horrible hate crimes that he committed when he was tried as an adult. Only spent 45 days of 2 years in jail, and thinks that he's entitled to some extra level of special treatment here on the flip side, just so he can open up restaurants with a liquor license as if he doesn't already have enough money. Fuck you, but you don't get a fucking Wahlburger chain or whatever the fuck you want to call it, Marky Mother Trucking Mark. Dunzo. No. Broke the fuck up. You're not going to get to do that. You're not going to get to go be one of your reserved police officers that you want to be, so that you can pretend somehow to, like, I don't know, whatever. Whatever convoluted fucked up mentality you have with your little teeny pecker. Because honestly, it's guys like you with your little teeny peckers that are like the driving force of this kind of fucking mentality. I just can't. Whatever. What? I can't talk about it anymore. It just pisses me the fuck off. Just pisses me off. I can't stand it. It's the whole thing just makes me angry. Just makes me angry. And it's like, and there's people out there, and I read the comments on there. Like, I read comments on these inner websites before I really, like, should. Because I see these people defending him about how it was like youthful indiscretions. Like, those happen. We all have them. But mine and yours more than likely do not include violent hate crimes against other people for the simple fact that you were a horrible racist and probably are still a horrible racist, because racism exists everywhere, even out here in California. Because let me tell you, I am a redneck from the South, grew up in North Carolina, small town outside of Charlotte, and I was exposed to all kind of racism growing up, and I had a whole bunch of family who didn't understand. They grew up in a different way. My grandparents were very different about color and all of that. I don't think they were racist. They just didn't realize that some of the shit they said is probably not shit that should be said in the way they say it. And other crap like that. But, like, in the South, racism, like, you sort of knew where you stood with people. You know what I mean? You always kind of knew where you stood with somebody. It's like, okay, that racist mother trucker over there, I ain't gonna, like, engage that because he's straight up nuts and he's racist and that's not the kind of people I want to associate with. But then I move out here to California in the early 90s, and the longer I was out here, like, after a couple of years, I was like, oh my God. I was like, Los Angeles is worse racist than the South. And the reason I claim that it's worse racist is because, one, there's a whole lot more different nationalities and colors and everything to choose from out here, I reckon. But the other reason is, out here, people will smile to your face and then they will talk some straight up shit behind your back. So you never knew where you stood with anybody. So if somebody was a racist, they were an undercover racist, and that is some straight up bullshit. I can't stand that. It's like, if you're gonna be something, at least be it so I know what to avoid. You know, I can't stand it. It drives me freaking nuts. Oh, and on this Marky Mark thing, one last thing. Well, just so you know, there's on the moveon.org, I know they're annoying as hell sometimes. If you sign one damn thing, they'll send you 100 freaking thousand emails. But all you got to do is click unsubscribe down at the bottom. So get your panties out of a wad and quit complaining if you're complaining. Because whatever. But on the moveon.org, if you go to it, there is a petition on there for to send to the Massachusetts powers that be to be like, hell to the no. He does not deserve a pardon. Period. It's just, it does not work that way. It does not work that way. So please, I signed it. I encourage all of y'all to sign in. And then when you start getting inundated with emails from the moveon.org, calm your ass down. Do not lose your ever-loving mind like it's blackout road rage. Just scroll to the bottom of the email, click unsubscribe. It will take you less than a minute, and you can move on with your life, okay? So don't be bitching about me if moveon.org keeps sending you emails because you didn't bother to unsubscribe. But I highly recommend signing this petition just because it just needs to get put out there. And that right there, all y'all mother truckers, it's enough about Marky Mark. I'm tired of talking about him. He pisses me off. It just puts me in a bad mood. So I'm going to move on to the other person who annoys the ever-living crap out of me. The original broke the fuck up. But our good friend Mama June, back in the frickin' news, causing trouble, being a pain in the ass. So Mama June, I don't get it. This woman is the queen of deflection. It chaps my ass so bad that I defended these people on any level ever. And like, ow, it just makes me, I can't believe this stuff. So not only is Mama June a horrible person, we figured that out by her like relations with child molesters who not just molested children, but her own children, which is beyond fathomable. And how she tried to like blame everybody but herself for her actions and like bring everybody down with her. But apparently she's now trying to deflect yet again. Poor Sugar Bear. I love me some Sugar Bear. He is a nice guy. You can tell by watching the show. He freaking took care of all these girls. He didn't have to. He's only father of one of them. The rest of them are like fathered by multiple men, some child molesters, some not. They're all hood rats of some sort. And Mama June, until recently, said she didn't know who one of them was, but then come to find out, child molester off of freaking To Catch a Predator. For real. Straight up real. You can't write this shit. It's amazing. But now, she's trying to throw blame back on Sugar Bear because they were supposedly trying to work it out and get back together because Sugar Bear actually cares about those girls and wants to try to help take care of them. But now, to deflect away from her own untoward nonsense, Mama June has started to throw shade at Sugar Bear again, saying that he's chatting with ladies on the Snapchat and that he's actually a really big cheater and a big player. Mama June, do you not realize that that does not compare, that pales in comparison to the shit you pulled? Your ability to like not take responsibility for your own actions is beyond me. Because if this isn't bad enough, come to find out, Mama June is a thief and a liar on top of it all. Like, we didn't think that she would be. Because, I mean, she's got such a stellar reputation up to this point for appropriate behavior. But according to her own daughter, Anna, a.k.a. Chickadee, she has freaking bled her trust fund dry. So all of her reality show money that's supposed to go to Chickadee, Mama June has apparently pilfered and stolen and used for Lord knows what, according to Chickadee, probably a car for child molester Mark McDaniel. So wait a minute here. In the words of Chickadee herself, again, making me agree with Dr. Phil. So Mama June, not once, not twice, but three times you have made me agree with Dr. Phil, and I hate that. But here is Anna, a.k.a. Chickadee. And there's a little thing in there, too. Like, some clips from Dr. Phil of Anna talking about Mama June stealing her money. And then Mama June trying to, like a clip, too, of where Mama June tried to, like, rationalize what she was doing. And it's completely obvious that she is lying. Like, there is nothing trustworthy about Mama June. Like, I always thought that she was going to take care of those girls, put that money away for school or whatever. Nope. I was wrong. I hate admitting I was wrong, but when I am wrong, I'll admit it. This woman made me wrong. So here's Chickadee busting it down to Dr. Phil about what Mama June's up to, and a little bit of Mama June trying to, like, say what she had done and why. And you can tell just by the tone and everything that Mama June is full of, 100% full of shit. Okay? So Chickadee telling up Dr. Phil what her mama had done to her trust fund account. All right? Want to hear it? Here it go.
You say your mother robbed your trust fund account.
Mama's name is on every single account. It's a head owner of the account. So she can withdraw, take money out, give money. She can do any of that. I'm at the bottom because I signed it when I was a minor.
Your lawyer sent a letter.
Yes.
Asking for information about this account. No response.
No. So I called the bank in Milledgeville, and I asked them, say, hey, is there any account underneath my name? They said, yeah, there's an account underneath. There is a savings account with $17.89 in it. So I'm like, okay, what happened here? So I called my mother. She said, well, I moved all of it. I took all it because all the girls said, you know what, just give her her money. Just give it to her. Well, she said, I'm sending whatever left. She sent me a picture of it. She said, this is what's left in your account, $15,400. She was supposed to send it the next day. Well, she says she sent it. No letter came.
Never got anything. Okay. Well, Anna and Sandra have accused Mama June of stealing Anna's trust fund. Let's hear from Mama June what she had to say about that. You know, Anna has alleged that you have rifled her trust fund, and she had a $30,000 trust fund that you rifled. At one point, she said you used the money to buy a car for Mark. You said that's absolutely not true.
I gave her $400 a month. I didn't have to give her that until she turned 21. And then I've got a cashier's check I can show you that I sent her, which was the rest of the money in her account.
I never got that check.
Okay, y'all heard that right. I never got that check. Last thing Chickadee said right at the very end. I never got that check. So where's the check, Mama June? If you sent the check, where is it? Why would Chickadee lie? She has no reason to lie. You've become the most untrustworthy, horrible, awful, giant walrus, multi-chinned, neck-crusted, awful woman, throwing your own child under the bus. Your child who was molested by the man that you decided that you wanted to continue to have relations with 10 years after he got out of jail for molesting your oldest child while your other child was in the room. All that kind of shit. And then you want to turn it around on Sugar Bear and try to make Sugar Bear into the bad guy when we all know. Now we know. Sugar Bear is sweet. Don't fuck with Sugar Bear. Mama June, you are the awful, hateful person who is trying to deflect everything away from you and onto somebody else. And the sad part is you are doing it to your own family who you supposedly love and care about. You are a lying, giant sack of shit. And I am still so pissed that I defended you. Broke the fuck up doesn't even have been described. How I feel. Broke the fuck up barely scratches the surface. Like, as much as I'm broke the fuck up with Marky goddamn Mark, you take the cake, woman. You are the brokest uppest bitch in town. Brokest up, is that even a way to talk? I don't know. I am most broke up with Mama June. Broke the fuck up. That's it. Whatever. I know what I'm talking about. I'm getting all riled up. It's ridiculous. But moving on to another story. But if y'all don't realize, and I don't know how you can't because it's all over everything, but as we're hitting award season here in Hollywood Town, and the people in this town love nothing more than to pat themselves on the back and give themselves accolades to make themselves feel better. Kind of like how I like reading about stupid criminals to make me feel better about myself. I think they like to pump up their sense of grandeur by patting themselves on the back and giving themselves awards, because that's pretty much what they do, is they give themselves awards. And in case y'all didn't know, the nominations for the Golden Globe Awards, Oscars like Redheaded Stepchild, the list of them, I've not even heard of most of this crap that's on these things. So I'll go through all these and let y'all know like what's happening in the world. But like, so the list of Golden Globe nominations is, you know, like for like movies, they busted up into drama and then comedy musical for like categories. And so the movies that are nominated for the best motion picture drama, let's get on with the nominations, is Boyhood. I have heard of that, but I ain't watching it because I hear it's forever long and I can't sit through a movie like that unless I'm watching it at home where I can pause and take my own intermissions. I can't sit through 3.5 hours of a movie in a movie theater. I will go straight up nuts. I can't do it. And but the rest of these, I've never even heard of. Foxcatcher, never heard of it. Imitation Game, never heard of it. Selma, never heard of it. The Theory of Everything, never heard of it. And honestly, I read all of this shit so that I should know that these movies are coming from somewhere. Nope, never heard of it. So then we get into the best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. We have Jennifer Aniston in something called Cake. Never heard of it, but I must be. Oh, you know what? I have heard about this one because I think it's like she's like some abused wife or something. She's bucking for an Oscar. That's what she was doing. Like this was her like her Oscar bait role that she took last year. And then we got somebody named Felicity Jones. I don't even know who that is. In something called Theory of Everything, which is up there in the best motion picture drama category. Never heard of it. Julianne Moore. Oh, who I do love. Because, you know, Julianne Moore played twin cousins on As the World Turns way back when. Sabrina and Fanny. Some of her finest acting to date. I don't think in my book she will ever do anything better than the twin cousins, Franny and Sabrina, off of As the World Turns back in probably the 80s. It was before she was the big, fancy, famous movie star. But she's in something called Still Alice. Never heard of it. Then we got Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl. I have heard of that. So, but I never saw it, so I can't really comment on it. And then we have Reese Witherspoon, who I normally like, all right. She did Legally Blonde, so she's good in my book. And something called Wild. Never heard of that. So all this stuff, all this Oscar bait shit, obviously, it just does that say that this stuff is a bunch of crap nobody cares about? Or does it say that Brent should quit watching a whole bunch of trash and maybe pay attention to something that's a little more highbrow? Ain't gonna happen. I am the reason they make trashy programming, and I will continue to be the reason they make trashy programming, because I do not like highbrow stuff. I like lowbrow humor. I like car chases. I like explosions. I like superheroes. That's what I like in my entertainment. The best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama, we got Steve Carell for Foxcatcher. Never heard of it. And then you've got Benedict comes in batches for The Imitation Game. Never heard of it. Jake Gyllenhaal for Nightcrawler. Now, that one I have heard of. I didn't see it, but he looks creepy as hell in the pictures and stuff I saw from the clips. I think I watched the trailer. Like, he lost a lot of weight, got all gaunt looking and weird. Looks like he has, like, some sort of terminal disease. He looked like, but he's like some kind of like paparazzi type person, whatever, but it's supposed to be very good. Actually, that's one I want to see, but he creeped. I mean, he did, like, he's supposed to play a creepy person. He accomplished creepy with his like physical transformation, because he lost a shit ton of weight. He looked horrible. He looked like he needed a cheeseburger stat. And then we got, okay, next one, we got somebody called David Oyelowo. What is it with people in unpronounceable last mother trucking names? I don't get it. Whatever. Some dude named David something in Selma. Never heard of it, so I can't comment. Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything. I don't know. Then we have Best Motion Picture Comedy or Musical, which these nominations are Birdman. It got the most nominations. That means it's probably going to win. Something called Grand Budapest Hotel. Sounds boring as fuck. End of the Woods. I might watch that. It looks like whatever. Probably not till DVD. Something called Pride. Never heard of it. St. Vincent. Never heard of it. It's like, what? Has it not come out yet? They just made the cutoff for this, and then we're supposed to wait till, like, when does this shit come out? Because I've never heard any of these stupid movies. How am I supposed to, like, know what the fuck they're talking about? Whatever. So then we get into performances by an actress in a motion picture, comedy, or musical. Then we got Amy Adams for something called Big Eyes. Never heard of it. Emily Blunt, Into the Woods. That might be pretty good. Helen Mirren, I love her. That's a foxy old lady right there. For something called 100-Foot Journey. Never heard of that. Oh, Julianne Moore, double dipping. She got a drama and a comedy nomination. See, when you play twin cousins, you can play multiple different kind of people. Good work, Julianne Moore. I vote for you because you have, you were Franny and Sabrina back on As the World Turns. Oh, and then we have Kwan Vizine, I can never say her name right, but the little girl that was nominated for an Oscar for that, like, I don't know. She was like the youngest Oscar nominee. She's playing Annie in the new Annie movie, which apparently is a complete shit show from what I understand. Like, and I watched a clip of Cameron Diaz singing that little girl song, and whoever, and they're, I don't know who, thought and was in any, like, any way thought that Cameron Diaz would should be one in a musical or two playing Mrs. Hannigan is beyond me. Because honestly, Cameron Diaz has she's not good, and I've seen her in person. She's not that really that pretty. Like, she's not aging well, she's not doing good. She's I watched a clip of her singing that song. It's horrible. Look it up on the Googles. I don't have to feel like looking for it and finding a clip or anything, because I don't even have to listen to it again. That's how bad it was. I don't even have to listen to it to share it with you people to talk about how bad it was. That's how freaking bad it was. So, good. I'm glad you got nominated, but I don't think you're going to win on account of, from what I can tell, that movie sucks, and you got, like, some competition up in there. Whatever. Moving on to Best Performance by Actor in a Comedy or Musical. We have Ralph Fiennes in this Budapest Hotel thing. Whatever. Michael Keaton for Birdman. He's going to win because they've been screaming Birdman from the rooftops. Like, it's supposed to be this really great movie, but it looks boring as hell to me. And then we got Bill Murray, who I love, for something called St. Vincent. I mean, he was in Caddyshack, so maybe he should win just because he was in Caddyshack. And then we also have Joaquin Phoenix for something called Inherent Vice and Christoph Waltz for Big Eyes. Neither of those two have I ever heard of. I can't believe this. So, oh, then we get into Best Animated Film. These are ones I've actually heard of. So where does that say about the Hollywood hick? What kind of shit does he pay attention to? So we got nominations there. Big Hero 6, cute, not great. Wreck-It Ralph was way better. This one I don't know. Book of Life, never heard of it. I don't know what that is. Oh, is that that one? Oh, I do know what that is. That's the one that Guillermo del Toro or whatever his name is produced, that director guy. Okay, that's a lot. I know what that is. Like a claymation sort of thing. It ain't going to win. Box Trolls, another claymation. I didn't see that, but I like the stuff that this Leica studio that makes these movies puts out. So it's probably a good movie. Also on the list, How to Train Your Dragon number 2. I saw it. It was okay. The first Train Your Dragon was really good, though. So it based off, whatever. The first Train Your Dragon, great movie. I had to watch it a bunch of times because I was working on subtitles for that movie, actually, back when it came out. So the first one, it was like one of the few that I had to watch a bunch of times, and I didn't mind it. It was cute. Second one, sorry. Oh, this one's going to win. Lego Movie. It was fucking awesome. When I heard there was a movie called Lego Movie, my initial reaction was, oh, my God, there's no way on God's green earth I will be sitting through a shit show of a Lego movie. How can you turn Legos into a movie? That don't make no damn sense. Then I saw it because everybody said how good it was, and I ate those words because I enjoyed every minute of it. And it has Chris Pratt in it, who I think is awesome, and I love him. He's the like main voice dude. So that's that. Best foreign language film. I don't know nothing about this shit. So something called Force Majeure, something from Sweden. Get the Trial of Vivian Anselm from Israel, Ida from Poland, Leviathan from Russia, Tangerines from Estonia. I don't know nothing about none of that. We just gonna move right the fuck on. That's what we gonna do. All right, so now we get into some more performances. So best performance by an actress in a supporting role. Oh, this is some bullshit. So the actor main role people get split up into two different drama and then comedy musical. But I guess if you're supporting, you all get lumped together. So you got like tougher competition down here in the supporting area. But our supporting actresses, we have Miss Patricia Arquette for Boyhood. I hear that's a very good movie, but I can't sit through 3.5 hours of movie. And then Jessica Chastain, who I love. She was great in that Help movie, but I don't know what something called A Most Violent Year. Never heard of it. Keira Knightley. How the hell does this Keira Knightley chick keep getting nominated for stuff all the time? She is boring and bland, as boring and bland as they come. Like, she gives Gwyneth Paltrow a run for her money for boring and bland, and I didn't really think that was possible. I can't stand this. Well, it's not that I can't stand her. I just find her boring. And I'm thinking about to put her on my list of people I don't watch because they're just so boring. Like, okay, this is my list of people I won't watch in movies, no matter what. I do not watch a movie with Gwyneth Paltrow unless it's a superhero movie like Iron Man and she doesn't really matter anyway because it's all about the special effects and Robert Downey Jr. I do not watch movies with Andie MacDowell. No matter how pretty she is, she should never have been allowed to open her monotone mouth. She is such a horrible actress. She's so flat and monotone and nothing ever has any range. It's just also one level of boring. I can't take. And she's from my parents' hometown of Gaffney, South Carolina. I want to like her so much more. Gorgeous. Keep modeling. Take as many damn pictures as you want. Push L'Oreal all you want. Just don't open your mouth and talk, Andie MacDowell. And then the third one on that list is Kevin Costner. I don't watch him because he's boring as fuck. And he's just boring. I never understood why people liked him so much. So those are my list of boring people that I do not watch in the movies because they bore me to tears. All right, moving on with the next on this list. Emma Stone, she's adorable for Birdman. She probably got everybody who's in this Birdman going to win something. And then, oh, of course, it's not an award show unless you nominate Meryl Streep. So she's nominated for that Into the Woods movie. And then, so whatever. Moving on to supporting actor in a motion picture. Robert Duvall, the judge. Looks boring. Not even going to comment. Ethan Hawke, Boyhood. They're all over. Edward Norton, Birdman. Probably going to win. Birdman's nominated for everything. Mark Ruffalo for some Foxcatcher movie I ain't never heard of. And then, oh, this guy. Do not. I don't even know why he's on this list. He's an asshole. And I have that on good authority. But this J.K. Simmons dude, he does all of those commercials for like Farmers Insurance or something too, that bald-headed dude. But apparently he is like one of the biggest raging hemorrhoid-riddled assholes that Hollywood has to offer. Like, and I have that on some very good authority that this dude is straight up as bitch-ass, bitchy, asshole, assholy as it possibly comes. So do not, under any circumstances, vote for J.K. Simmons because he is an asshole. And I can't believe I even had to, like, read his name because that's how much I don't want anything to do with him after I heard how he behaves. I don't like that. I hate people with this fucking false sense of grandeur. You're an actor. You don't save lives. You are not that important in the grand scheme of things. Trust. So, whatever. Moving on. I don't want to see. I'm getting angry again. But getting into the directing category. Okay. So now this makes it. So Grand Budapest Hotel. That's directed by Wes Anderson. His movies are boring, people. I tried them. I don't know why everybody likes them so much. Good Lord. They're like nails on a chalkboard. I don't understand why people like them so much. So then we move on. So then the next one is somebody named Ava DuVernay for Selma. Never heard of it. David Fincher for Gone Girl. Then we got Alejandro Gonzalez what is it with unpronounceable last mother trucking names? Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu. Something like that. Birdman. He's probably going to win. Everybody's loving that Birdman movie. But everybody I know who's seen it told me that I do not need to waste my time or money because I won't be able to sit through it because it's not the kind of shit that I like. And then we also got Richard Linklater for Boyhood. And in my opinion, he should probably win just for the simple fact that he directed Dazed and Confused, which is an awesome, awesome, awesome movie. And if it wasn't for that, we would not have no Annie McConaughey with his little T-Rex arms. Because he's got some short little arms. He looks like a T-Rex. So, whatever. Moving to best screenplay. It's like I'm reading the same list over again. Wes Anderson for Grand Budapest Hotel. Jenilyn Flynn for Gone Girl. All these same movies. That Alejandro Gonzalez, unpronounceable last name, and a couple other people on that Birdman movie. Richard Linklater, Boyhood. Somebody named Graham Moore for Imitation Game. Never heard of that movie. It's like, it all just gets so redundant on these award shows. I can't sit through them. All these people with like false sense of grandeur patting each other on the back. I can't sit. I hate it. I hate them. I hate them. I don't even know why I'm reading this list, but I'm in the middle now. I ain't going to stop. And so then we get to original score. Who really cares? Those nominated. Imitation Game. Don't know what that is. Theory of Everything. Don't know what that is. Gone Girl. Heard of that. Birdman. Heard of that. Interstellar. Okay, Hans Zimmer, he gets nominated for something every freaking time. Then we have Best Original Song from this movie, Big Eyes, Ain't Never Heard of. Oh, Lana Del Rey, that means it's going to be very melancholy and sad. I'm Lana Del Rey, and I've had it so bad. I'm so melancholy and sad all the time. I sing so sad. Ah, fuck her. Whatever. I can't wrap my brain around the fascination. Yes, she's pretty, but the songs are boring as fuck, and it's all really kind of a monotone sort of huskiness that I can't get past. So whatever. My opinion, I ain't even heard it, and I know I don't want to hear it. Then we have a song called Glory from that Selma movie I've never heard of by John Legend and Common. So that means it's got some rapping in there. Then Mercy Is from Noah. I don't know what that is. Patti Smith. Okay, I get it. Something called, Opportunity. They always have to write an original song for a musical that they like put out this one from like from way back, because otherwise they don't get nominated for any original song thing. So of course Annie has something called Opportunity. So that's that. And then we have like rounds this out with Yellow Flicker Beat by that Lord chick on the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1. And I don't get this Lord chick. I think like that Royal song, it played forever. I get it. It was a very good song. It got played out. But I can't get behind her, because I just always want to go, like, wash her face and, like, put on some happy makeup. It's like, why children today need to walk around in this gloomy state is beyond me. Fucking put on some color. Don't wear freaking dark, ugly Morticia Adams fucking lipstick and fucking come into the, like, light, Sister Jesus. That's all I'm going to say on that. Moving on. Okay, we're done with movie categories. That shit goes on forever. So then, there's a whole section of TV stuff on here, too, but because I'm sick of talking about the Golden Globes right now, we will circle back with the TV section of the Golden Globe nominations on the Tuesday episode of The Hollywood Hick. So if you are really interested to know what I think about the TV section of the Golden Globe Awards, make sure you tune in on Tuesday evening at 7 in the p.m. on the Crab Diving Network /live. That way you can hear it on the network, and I will be talking about the TV section of the Golden Globes on The Hollywood Hick on the Tuesday episode that it premieres at 7, because you know The Hollywood Hick plays every day on the 7s with new episodes on Tuesday and Friday at 7 in the p.m. Okay, so moving on to another subject, because this cracks me up, but I don't know if y'all are aware or noticed, but there's some hacking that happened over at the Sony lot, apparently, and according to some, North Korea did it, because, you know, they're putting out this movie called The Interview with Seth Rogen and James Franco, and where they, like, it's some plot to assassinate Kim Jong-un, the North Korea leader, and North Korea is not having it. And so they say they didn't hack, but people think they might have hacked, and other people hacked. They've been releasing all kind of, like, they, like, released some movies, like Annie and Fury, a few other ones, like, their big movies coming up. They, like, put some things out, and they start, but the best is they've been releasing these emails from all the head honchos and big wigs and big time producers and stuff. And but the one that I think is the funniest email that came out so far, there's others, and I'll touch on this one and then I'm gonna move on to some other shit, because Hollywood is starting to get on my nerves right now. But so okay, let me just break it down. What happened was, so this dude, his name is Scott Rudin. He's one of the biggest producers in town. And apparently he's a big old screamer and a pain in the ass. But after reading some of this stuff, I think I kind of like him now. But he was having some email exchanges with this chick named Amy Pascal, who's the head of Sony, like, entertainment. So she's like big wig, head honcho over at Sony for all of this. And apparently Angelina Jolie wanted in on directing this Steve Jobs movie, but the Sony people and Scott Rudin wanted David Fincher to do it. So it's his whole thing. And like Angelina Jolie was trying to like pull rank and stuff like that to get it done. And so Scott Rudin had it, because from what I understand, when he has had it, he is broke the fuck up, and he means it, just like I do. When he says broke the fuck up, he means broke the fuck up. So he sent an email to this Amy Pascal chick, all caps email too, by the way, all caps, Kanye style, that says, "You better shut Angie down before she makes it very hard for David to do jobs." All caps like that. And then Amy Pascal comes back with, "Do not fucking threaten me. I have been asking you engage me on this for weeks, and Fincher brought it up to me at dinner. And you know Eric, the dude who's writing this Cleopatra movie, apparently, that Angelina Jolie is, like, involved in, whatever, that dude has been working this for 2 years." And Scott Rudin comes back with, he's like, "What the hell are you talking about? Who's threatening you? Let me remind you, I brought this material to you, and I can off her from it in a phone call. Don't for one second even think I'm trying this shit with me. There is no movie of Cleopatra to be made. And how is it a bad thing, given the insanity and rampaging spoiled ego of this woman, and the cost of the movie is beyond me? And if you won't tell her that you do not like the script, which, let me remind you, she doesn't either," all caps, Kanye style again, "this will just spin even further into crazy land. But let me tell you, I have zero appetite for the indulgence of spoiled brats, and I will tell her this myself. Watch how you talk to me." So that's how he left it. So then apparently she got all butthurt, this Amy Pascal chick, sent some more emails back and forth, blah, 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 and telling him that it made it uncomfortable and all this kind of stuff. And then he basically, this is, if you want to know how to shut a bitch down. This, my friends, is how you shut a bitch down. Okay, so this is from the last email from Scott Rudin on this subject to Amy Pascal, like the head chick over there at like Sony. He's like, this is his email. This is the last communication we are going to have on this. You're involving yourself in this massive and pointless drama that is beneath you. You're entitled to say no. You've been consistent about it, which is in fact your only obligation. If you engage in this again, you will end up losing Fincher on the one we want him to do, and we'll be stuck with shoving him onto a movie with no script that, underneath it all, you know in your heart and your brain should never be made. I've told you exactly how I want to do this material. It's the only, all caps, Kanye style, way I want to do this material. I'm not remotely interested in presiding over 180 million ego bath that we both know will be the career-defining debacle for us both. I'm not destroying my career over a minimally talented, spoiled brat who thought nothing of shoving this off her plate for 18 months so she could go direct a movie. I have no desire to be making a movie with her or anybody that she runs and that we don't. She's a camp event and a celebrity, and that's all. I love this. She's a camp event and a celebrity, and that's all. And the last thing anybody needs is to make a giant bomb with her that any fool could see coming. We will end up being the laughing stock of our industry, and we will deserve it, which is so clearly where this is headed that I cannot believe we are still wasting our time with it. Oh, my sweet Jesus Lord. That, my friends, is how you shut down the head honcho of a studio. Just tell it like it is. Because there's points of this email that are just brilliant. Angelina Jolie in an action flick. That's about it. Beyond that, I won't watch her. I can't do it. But I like how he's like, I have no desire to be making a movie with her or anybody that she runs me down. And then she's a camp event and a celebrity, and that's all. The best one, though, is I'm not destroying my career over a, quote, minimally talented, spoiled brat. I love this guy. He also got himself in a little bit of trouble, I'm going to move on to something else because I'm going to be running out of time. And there's a couple other things I want to touch on before we get out of here on the Hollywood Hick today. But on the next episode, I will touch on some of the other emails that he sent with Amy Pascal, a couple of which involved our President Obama. And there's some major apologies going on from that. But the things he said about Angelina Jolie, I guarantee you, are straight up 100% true. Straight up 100% true. Because there's this entitled look. It's when they reach this level of fame and whatever, it's like the entitledness just like seeps out of every pore, a la Marky Mark thinking he deserves a fucking pardon for hate crimes. Because that's where your mind goes when people are always like kissing your ass and telling you that you're the best thing ever in the history of the world. When in actuality, if you weren't a lucky little spoiled shit, you would probably be in prison somewhere. But I digress. So I am going to move the fuck on from this. But I love that. I love how this dude was like, we ain't going there, Miss Angelina Jolie, not having it at all. Not having it at all. I love it. But speaking of not having it, it is time for a recap of my favorite television program that is on television right now. Like I told y'all, I am the reason there's trashy shit on television. I love it. I can't get enough of it. My favorite is Mob Wives. I talked about it last week, how it premiered season 5. And Karen Gravano, Sammy the Bull Gravano's crazy ass daughter, is back because she does not take any shit from anybody, anywhere, ever. None of them do. These women, like, and honestly, do not call them a rat. So basically what happened this episode was it's all building up to a big old party at Big Ange, my favorite of the Mob Wives, because she is exactly that. Big Ange. She's got big titties, big lips, big hair, big everything, right? And she has a bar over in Staten Island called the Drunken Monkey, and it was a 7-year anniversary, and she's having a party there. So they're trying to like figure out how they can get all the ladies there and not like end up in a big giant debacle, which is exactly what it's going to end up in. But so they all try to may play nice and be good, but like, honestly, it's like do not like these women do not fucking play. Like the way they talk, like do not call them a rat and do not talk about their family. And honestly, do not. This is a new one on me. I didn't know that this was probably like the worst thing you could be. I thought the worst thing so far was being calling somebody a rat, because you cannot be a rat or talk about somebody's family. Even though if your family had ratted, then you still can't talk about it. Like that Karen chick, her dad, Sammy the Bull Gravano, he was a murderer. He was like the hitman for the mob turned and like turned a whole bunch of people in when he went to federal prison for a long, long time to get a shorter sentence. But even though he is a rat, you cannot say it. Like, even if you are a rat, like Renee, the other crazy one, her husband, Junior, in jail, same thing. He turned on everybody as soon as he went to jail. Everybody fucking hates a rat, but they're all associated with a rat. But don't talk about being a rat. Don't talk about a rat. And apparently, you do not want to be a cop caller, meaning somebody who calls the cops on somebody. And it's just not the way. Okay, Drita puts it the best. So this, according to Drita, who might be my favorite of the housewives, because she's hot. She's a total hottie, and she's tough as fucking nails, and she does not take any flack off of nobody. But this is what Drita says about cop callers and how she feels about a cop caller. Okay, Drita on cop callers. Want to hear it? Here it go.
Drita cannot be around a cop caller because Drita is the one that usually punches the person in the face.
Because Drita is the one who normally punches a fucker in the face. Still, I love how much this show, like, the bleeping on this show is out of control. Like, if you ever thought you had potty mouth, watch Mob Wives because it will make you feel better about yourself. And you know how much I am about feeling better about yourself by watching other people act worse than you. So, So Drita is like, hell to the fucking no. I can't call no cops because usually they're coming there to get me because I punched you in the face because you talked about my family or called me a rat or called me a cop caller or something like that. So the whole thing goes on. There's this Natalie chick, the one they're talking about who might be a cop caller, because apparently she said she was going to call the cops on Karen because Karen was making threats about her family, but Karen denies it. It's like he said or she said all over this show. She said everywhere. So it all builds up to, of course, they all have to go to Big Ange's party at the Drunken Monkey, and that's where the shit really starts to hit the fan because Natalie shows up with her boyfriend named London. Now, I guess something about Staten Island. I guess if you're a tough guy, you get to dress like homos. I think I talked about this last time, but it cracks me up. This guy dresses like the biggest freaking homo. He's not, and he's actually kind of like one of the most normal and nice ones, but he dresses like a straight up homo. A straight up homo. Deep V's, tight pants, rolled up at the bottom, gay ass purple shoes and stuff. I'm serious. Like, whatever, but I digress on that. But so whatever. This Natalie shows up. She's got a mouth on her. This chick is the mouthiest chick ever, and like really, like she says she can fight, but honestly I don't think she can. And she's okay, basically what it boils down to, Karen and her don't like each other, and this Natalie has a big ass mouth, and Karen is not about to put up with her big ass mouth because that is not how she rolls, right? So we get towards the end of the episode, and I hate when they do this shit to me, but of course, they tease the big old fight that's about to happen. So they start the fight, everything's going, it's like, what? Who are you? I'm Karen. Who are you? I'm Natalie. That kind of shit, right? And it goes on, and it builds and builds and builds, and then boom, 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 you gotta wait till next fucking week. So this is what's going on. So it all built up to this fight. Here's a clip of these ladies of what's taking us into next week. So next week should be really good because there's a throwdown. And from the clips I saw, there's some hair pulling, punches thrown up against walls, dudes pissed off. Everybody's pissed off. They're ruining fucking Big Ange's party. And Big Ange don't like nothing or hate nothing more than somebody coming in and ruining one of her good times. And I fully support that position, Big Ange. It's like she's out to have fun. These bitches are nuts. And then here they come ruining my 7-year anniversary party for my Drunken Monkey bar. And that's that. So here is Karen Gravano and this Natalie, I can't remember her last name, chick, getting into it outside of the Drunken Monkey as they take us into next week on Mob Wives. So just listen to the craziness. Just the craziness. It's like these people, this is how they live their lives every day. They live for this shit. Like I said, I like to watch the drama on TV. I don't like to live it. Really, I have enough with AT&T customer service, really and truly. So here we go. Here is Natalie and Karen fixing to throw down on the Mob Wives. Oh my God, I love this shit. All right, here we go.
Listen, let me ask you a question. Who does your man think, number one, coming at me in a nightclub and then wants to jerk me off in front of my man as I approach? I don't get that.
I don't allow people to talk to me like that.
Who the f*** are you?
I'm Karen.
Who?
Who are you?
I'm Natalie.
Let what me the f*** your man you're gonna did. Watch your
I'm gonna f*** you.
Me. I'm
what's
gonna
your
lay
man?
You the
f***
out.
Bitch, you ain't doing
f***. You don't know who the f*** you talking to me.
No, you don't
tell
know
you.
Who the f***
put your f*** hands on me.
Who sends a man to deal with a bitch fight?
Who?
If you want to say this is a bitch fight, then your man must be a bitch, right?
Bitch, you.
Natalie.
Your whole family's a wreck.
You called the cops, you dumb bitch. Your own body calls the cops.
See what I mean? Shit is seriously about to go down on Mob Wives. So I will most definitely be tuning in for episode 3 of Mob Wives next week on Wednesday evening because, oh my God, this fight, the clips of it, Natalie gets shoved up against the wall, hair pulling, who knows? Like, bedlam. Bedlam. I love it. It makes me feel so much better about myself because I do not behave that way when I go out anymore. Actually, I never behaved as badly as these Mob Wives women. That's why I love watching it. They would kick a fucking housewife of Beverly Hills, Atlanta, any of those Orange County wives would get destroyed by a Mob Wife because they do not play. As gets witnessed by watching that show, 5 seasons in, nothing has changed. It actually only gets a little bit worse because they are straight up nuts. All right, so that's what's happening on the Mob Wives. And we're getting close to the end of the Hollywood Hick program here on the Crab Diving Network, www.crabdiving.com. And this is usually a time when I talk about a couple of things that usually make me feel better about myself. And then usually that's stupid criminals. And I do have a couple of stories about stupid criminals to share with y'all today because people are just straight up stupid and do shit. I don't understand why they do stuff. But there's this one, and it comes out of, see, I told y'all this damn computer was going to be slow, and here it is, trucking along, slow as molasses when I'm trying to wrap this shit up, and I can't fucking talk because I can't remember the whole story unless I'm able to read it, but this godforsaken computer won't fucking load nothing anymore. I don't understand why. Why does the rain fuck it all up? AT&T, see, this is why we can't get along, AT&T. I cannot get along with you because your shit don't work. It actually does rain occasionally in Los Angeles, so maybe you should plan for it, bitches, okay? But, this story is finally starting to load up. So there's this kid. He was found in, I think this was outside. Oh, no, Florida. It's always fucking Florida, ain't it? It sure enough is. But there was this dude, and 21-year-old Anthony Smith got busted out in front of his house. Police say he was arrested after he was found naked and masturbating outside of his home. It happened back on November 14th, and he was identified as 21-year-old Anthony Smith, told the deputies that his mother won't let him watch porn in the house, and then he also, that was bad enough. Like, mama won't let me watch porn in the house, so I went outside and started wagging it outside butt naked, but he also was under the hopes that he would be seen by his neighbors. So, honestly, and I mean, I'm a man. I am alive, so I have whacked it plenty of times. But I choose to not do that outside where the Pope flow can come and catch me because I can't do that shit anymore. So, Anthony Smith, thank you yet again for making me feel better about myself because otherwise I just wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't be able to get through life if I didn't have people like you. But the final story of this episode of the Hollywood Hick comes to us from. This comes out of what town is this? It was on here. It's in Minnesota somewhere. Minnesota somewhere. I think there was another story I talked about from Minnesota the other day too. Like, people are nuts. But there's an area of Minnesota called Rice Lake, apparently, and there's this fella, Sean L. Bishop, 32. He was charged with misdemeanor count of operating a firearm while intoxicated, and because what had happened was he was on his way back to the Rice Lake from someplace called Bruce, and he was using a handgun to shoot out the passenger side window at signs as they drove along, where eventually Bishop fell out of the truck. And there was also a 16-year-old in the truck, and that was a bad idea because he fucking ratted them all out. He would not do well on Mob Wives. They would kill him. But the teen said that Bishop was sitting in the passenger side door with his upper body outside the truck and just his legs in the truck when he fell out. And so he followed, and who knows how fast they were going to do that shit. Had to hurt. They loaded him back in the truck, drove him back to Rice Lake. And I guess somebody called the police, and he was cited for shooting out the gun. It's like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever. Thank you. I have never done this. I don't own guns. So I would not even be able to begin where to believe to do this shit. So that said, thank you again, Mr. Sean L. Bishop of Rice Lake, Minnesota, because you have made me feel so much better about myself. And that's it, y'all. That is another episode of The Hollywood Hick. Follow me on the Twitter at Brent Paris, 2 R's in Paris, and follow every show on here on the Crab Diving Network. You'll thank me for telling you to do so. And so y'all be good, and I will talk to y'all soon. Boodalam, boodalam, do y'all. Bye-bye.
Boodalam, 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 boodalam. Toodalam, 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 toodalam. Greg-a-ling, 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 now. Sing-a-ling, 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 wow. I know this song don't